This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Deflating inflation. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The consumer price index went up 0.2% in April. The prediction was for that number to be a lot higher after the March reading of 0.3%. Inflation pressures eased a bit, even though we're seeing skyrocketing prices on food, the highest prices in 18 years. That's countered by other things like cars that are actually getting cheaper. But the numbers at the gas pump aren't getting cheaper. AAA and the Oil Price Information Service say this morning the average national price of a gallon of regular hit a record overnight. That average is now at $3.75 a gallon. Today, Congress will examine whether better building policies can significantly reduce the nation's energy consumption and greenhouse gas emissions without breaking the bank. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
U.S. buildings pump out about 40% of the nation's total greenhouse gases and consume 70% of its electricity. Many argue even modest changes to building codes could yield significant reductions in CO2 emissions. And it's a lot cheaper than building new power plants. Michelle Moore with the U.S. Green Building Council is scheduled to testify today before the House Global Warming Committee.
It's not only a place where you can make tremendous gains at virtually no cost, in many cases it actually has a net positive impact to the bottom line.
Moore says buildings certified as green use about 32% less electricity, yet only a tenth of new construction incorporates energy-saving measures. San Francisco could soon become the first city in the nation to require most new buildings to adopt features like solar panels and low-flow water fixtures. On a national level, Moore says Congress needs to expand tax incentives to encourage green building. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
A big question remains today in China as rescue teams continue to work in the areas worst hit by Monday's earthquake. People want to know why so many schools collapsed and whether it's exposed a broader issue of substandard building quality. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
A lot of parents in China are wondering if their children's schools collapsed in part because of fly-by-night construction practices. Beijing has strict building codes, but the question is the implementation, says Will Hess of the forecasting firm Global Insight.
China has been in a hurry to build as fast as it can, so it's not unthinkable that in some instances corners may have been cut.
The bad case scenario is local officials get close to property developers, and one way or the other, materials get skimped on and inspections get skipped. Engineers say schools are particularly vulnerable since they're low-margin construction projects. And if rules get bent, Hess says exposing it is risky.
It's been very dangerous to be a whistleblower, whether it's railway safety, whether it's building inspections. It's not always a very hospitable environment.
It's still an open question why the schools fell, but there's widespread anger in China's blogosphere directed at property developers and construction contractors. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The Dow is up 115 points to 12,947. The Nasdaq is up 24 points to 2519. The S&P 500 is up 12 to 1415. Markets in Europe are up and Asian shares were mostly higher. It's time for a belated birthday wish. To some, it's the epitome of efficiency when it comes to sneakers. My dad once used it to fix the cassette flap of my Walkman. it can stick you to a wall with the proper suit. And its song is unmistaken. 50 years ago yesterday, Velcro received its U.S. patent. Velcro production started in France before operations were moved to Manchester, New Hampshire in 1958.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by FINRA Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor. Online at finrafoundation.org. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at medtronic.com. And by gather.com, where friends can stay in touch. People are talking at gather.com.
San Francisco is planning to install old parking meters in neighborhoods where a lot of panhandling happens. Money deposited in these meters will be earmarked for charities to help the homeless. Other cities are already feeding the idea. Marketplace's Sean Cole reports on one program in Montreal.
The whole thing started about a year ago when one Montreal borough replaced its parking meters with those centralized electronic pay stations. Jean-Yves Dutel, the borough's director of public affairs, says he and the mayor and everyone were all left scratching their heads.
We've seen these old park meters, and so we said, what do we do with the old park meters? And suddenly came said, why don't we transform certain amount of these park meters into something else than for cars, okay?
So the borough contacted L'Itinéraire, a group that helps homeless people get back on their feet. It mainly publishes a magazine that needy people sell on the street for a profit. And L'Itinéraire said great and repainted a bunch of the meters.
Because they were black and very ugly.
Richard Turgeon is marketing director for L'Itinéraire. He took me out to one of the meters, green and white with all kinds of French writing on it. Down the front, it said, in big letters, Parco Don.
It's Don is donation. So it's a Parco donation. It's to park your generosity in a sense, you know.
60 of these things are scattered all over downtown now, pulling in about $20,000 a year for L'Itinéraire. Dutel says he knows people who give through Parco Don who never gave to panhandlers.
When you give to an individual, okay?
Thank you. Have a good day.
Maybe the guy is buying something to eat, okay? But maybe not. My dollar, when I put it in a parcoton, at that moment, I'm totally sure that this dollar is counting for much more than $1, okay?
Problem is, when a donation box is shaped like a parking meter, some people think it is a parking meter, even when it's at a taxi stand. And Richard Turgeon is aware of this.
Because we receive some phone calls at the office that they want us to pay their ticket. But, of course, we refuse.
It's funny, of course, because people usually hate feeding parking meters. So, in a way, projects like this might repair our relationship to normal meters. Right, Mr. Dutel?
I haven't changed my opinion on the normal parking meters. Okay.
Or not. In Montreal, Quebec, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
You can share your opinions by going to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.